Now do we move to number 9?
Yeah.
Okay. Number 8. Beg your pardon. Item number 8. Approval of proposed emergency sick leave and family medical care leave policy. Melissa Macias, Human Resources Manager. Can we have the director please read the recommendation?
Melissa, you're
on mute, please. Melissa, unmute, please.
My apologies. Recommendation is to approve and authorize the emergency sick leave and family medical care leave policy, and to also be approve and authorize the use of request for the Family and Medical Leave Act, FMLA, public health emergency leave, and or emergency paid sick leave form.
Chair Perillo? You need to unmute, please, Chair. Chair Perillo? Need to unmute, please.
I'm mute. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Thank you. May I have can I ask a question if you wouldn't mind?
Yes. And there's going to be a presentation on this item also, Ms. Macias, but Mr. Kildee, go ahead with your question.
Well, we had a subcommittee meeting. I just was wondering if anybody there would like to make a short verbal report.
By chance, Ms. Hernandez, you're the chair. Is there a report you'd like to give?
Yes. Yes, we did have a meeting on Tuesday, and I have just a short report here. Thank you, Juliet, for helping me out with this. The PF committee met on Tuesday, May 5th. They've appointed me as their chair. Thank you very much to my colleagues. The committee received item number 8 from today's board meeting, which was included in the PF agenda, has item number 6. The committee recommends that the full board approve and authorize the proposed emergency sick leave and family medical care leave policy. The following questions were generated by the committee, and the committee asked staff to provide answers to these questions at today's board meeting. The first one is, when an employee is on this leave, how are the pension benefits handled? And what will the district do if it discovers one of its employees on this leave is working at another job? And that concludes my report.
Thank you.
Are we going to have a presentation? I had a question, but I'll wait.
I believe we'll have a presentation.
Yes.
Ms. Macias?
Yes, thank you. So the proposed emergency sick leave and family medical care leave policy is to address the recent legislation that was approved on April 1st under the Families First Coronavirus Response Act. So the policy also allows for the employees to use their accumulated leave in instances when they are required to stay home to care for their son and or daughter and are only receiving 2/3 of their pay per the regulation. The district is proposing to allow employees to supplement their compensation with their accumulated leave to maintain 100% of their normal pay. And then to address the two issues that the PNF committee raised on Tuesday. So I'll start with the first one in regards to how the district would address any abuse regarding the leave. And of course, we do have our disciplinary procedures, so we would launch a investigation. Which if we found that to be a legitimate concern, then we would discipline that employee up to termination. Additionally, we reached out to our labor attorney, Lieber Cassidy Whitmore, and they did confirm that there is also case law regarding abuse of FMLA leave. So potentially that would also be an avenue to use if we needed to terminate. In regards to the retirement issue, I'm going to have our finance director, Tina Rivera, address that portion.
Yes, that pay is compensable, and so therefore it is entitled to all of the benefits related to pension.
Does that conclude the report? Ms. Macias?
Yes, it does.
Okay. I believe there's a question. First one I hear is Mr. Werick.
Yes. Chair Perrella, I just wondered, and this is not something that could even be expected to be in the report because it was an executive order yesterday from the governor relative to the rebuttable assumption regarding a COVID diagnosis, even if for a person working at stay at home. And this involves workman's compensation, where what I'm being told and is that a COVID diagnosis may mean a workman's compensation leave benefits tied to their work-related injury, now defined to include their COVID diagnosis. And I just wonder, where do you start with those kind of questions? For example, the rebuttable assumption is that it's related to work, even if they're working at home, and who knows what else they're doing to possibly have an infection. And what I'm being told is that that would have to be proven. The assumption is that it's workman's comp. So I guess it's a question really for Mr. Kwong. How does all this interact, and does this imply some policy changes, or policy management, risk management changes in response to that executive order yesterday?
Thank you, Director Weirich, for that question. And thank you for staying on top of the executive orders. That has been almost a full-time job with the number of executive orders that have been coming out from Sacramento, as well as from our public health officer. I have not had an opportunity to review that executive order, but you raised good points. And that is something that firms like Lieber, Cassidy, Whitmore are specifically designed and configured to respond. I would completely defer to their expertise in the area of the executive orders and its interface with workers' compensation. But again, if it's a rebuttable assumption, you can rebut it just from a legal standpoint, just from a pushback standpoint. But this is something that Lieber, Cassidy and Melissa would be more than capable of running down and getting some very pertinent information over to the board.
And I just, Mr. Kwong, just an example of something I've raised with our city attorney, and he's looking into it, that is, if somebody is working at home and teleworking and getting a paycheck, if there's a gray area about whether they come into the office or not, this might affect that decision.
You're right. That's a good point. And we are dealing with that issue at our own firm with people working from home. And whether or not injuries sustained while working at home are considered workers' compensation. Again, this is a brave new world. And I think we're gonna see much more of this shaking out over the next several months.
Thank you.
Are there any more questions from board members? Are there any public comments, Madam Clerk?
No public comments have been received.
Okay, I would just like to make a request of the general manager, Mr. Kwong. Whatever Lieber, Cassidy, and Whitmore come up with, can we get it in writing to be distributed to the entire board members? The board members are from agency cities, area cities, and I'm sure this information will be very valuable to them to share with their elected cohorts. The question that Mr. Werick asked, I think, is a very valid question, because I had asked the question at the PNF meeting. If we find that an individual, and this is something that has happened in the past, not with this virus, and it happened recently with CHP, California Highway Patrol, people were off and apparently on disability, and they were taking side jobs, and they got caught. And I was warned, that's why I asked the question at the PNF. And I understand that we do have a policy in place. But I'm wondering, when the people are working at home, is there an expectation that they are working between X hour and Y hour expectations, so that if they do have a side job during those same hours, is that going to be something that we are going to have to deal with? And the reason I ask is I'd rather know what the plan is before we get into the mess. And I believe that it would be a mess if somebody brings it to our attention. Those are my comments and questions.
Let me just address the question of Lieber Cassidy Whitmore's opinion on these issues. I will work with the HR director, Melissa Macias, on formulating the questions that your board has and presenting them to Lieber Cassidy Whitmore. Whatever opinion, whether by letter or by memorandum, I would like to discuss with them, making it attorney-client privileged information, usable only for purposes of this board and not general advice to any governmental entity that may have the similar issues. So that would be something I'll work with Melissa and Chris and LCW to make sure that whatever opinion we get will address your questions, but it would be limited to VRSD.
Understandable, and I appreciate that. You work, you get paid. We're asking for their advice, and we're not, you know, it's not National Public Radio. So thank you. The second part of my question. Do we have is there some method, but when we have an employee being paid, staying at home, is there an expectation that they have a block of time that is dedicated to the VRSD, or can they use that same block of time for another job?
So for employees, the differentiation between their FLSA status is really the deciding factor on this. Employees who are FLSA exempt don't have the same care in terms of their exact working hours as an employee who's not FLSA exempt. Those who are covered by FLSA do in fact have an expected working time, working days, working hours, and there is an expectation they will do nothing else during that time. So our employees in that category, which is really the majority of our employees, are in fact not allowed to do any other kind of jobs at the same time. We also have provisions within the district where you are really not allowed to do another job, even simultaneous with your own. You have filled out this form that we have. And that's typical with most employers. Most employers want to know if their employees are doing some other side job, even if it's a small business like handy crafts or something like that, and selling them swap meets and things like that. Well, all of those kind of things are supposed to be separate. Oh, if you're asking, is it okay for somebody who's FLSA non-exempt to work during the day when they're supposed to be working for us? The answer is absolutely not. It's not okay. As Mr. Kwong mentioned, the new reality of a lot of people working at home and different types of employees does create some problems and some interesting situations. Can't through their computer camera and know exactly what they're doing unless we have some kind of really specialized software to do that. And some companies do that, but we don't have any spying software. So we're doing our management the same way we always did. For instance, when we have an employee supposed to be working an exact number of hours and have certain breaks, et cetera, we manage that. We don't see them every minute of the day because their supervisor's not with every particular employee. So we're doing our best to manage that in the same way that we would in a normal.
Thank you very much, Mr. Tyson. I appreciate the answer, and I appreciate Mr. Kwong's answer also. Do we have any last board member comments or questions? If not, entertain the direction of the board.
Move approval.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Director Ariza?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Fox?
Yes.
Director Friedman?
Yes.
Director Hernandez?
Yes.
Director Jones?
Aye.
Director Kildee?
Yes.
Director Wyrick?
Aye.
Chair Perello?
Yes.
Unanimously passed.
Thank you.
Chair Perello, could I just make a comment real quick? I couldn't log on quickly enough to get into your into the comments section. I just wanted to thank Mrs. Macias and her staff for the work that they did on this FMLA ordinance. It's very important and it's complicated, so I appreciate all the work. So on behalf of the board, thank you very much.
Thank you.